Our first scripture reading is from Psalm 139. Yahweh, you know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Yahweh, that you don't already know. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. And second, from Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 34, hear these words from Jesus. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you didn't want that. That's the word of God.
Well, a mother hen. On the surface, it seems really odd that Jesus would refer to himself that way, don't you think? We are accustomed to hearing male images used to represent God. But for most of us, using feminine images when thinking about God is not our norm. In fact, some people get quite angry if you dare to use a female pronoun to refer to God. One of my seminary professors, Reverend Dr. Leah Shade, shared that her family sometimes prays at mealtime, God is great, God is good, and we thank her for our food. Amen. And that sometimes leads to raised eyebrows when they pray that prayer at restaurants or in the presence of other family members or friends. Some might even say, God is not a woman. God would never be female. It's just not possible. It's not natural. It's not right. And even those of us who would not be that strongly opposed are still often uncomfortable with referring to God in the feminine. After all, every week we pray our Father who art in heaven. That's tradition. And we certainly do not want to mess with tradition now, do we? Yet many theologians and congregations have experimented with this, adapting the Lord's Prayer to be even more inclusive and kind of up to date in language that we might understand better. As a result, there are many beautiful translations of this prayer available to us today. That may be shocking to you to hear, but as theologians point out, we have to remember Jesus was shocking his audience by shaking up the norms of his day when he referred to God as Abba, which we translate as Father. Brian Wren says, Jesus was pointing to the relationship we have with God as a parent. It's a rich relationship, not tied to being male. But the use of God as Father today no longer has that power to shock and call into question the status quo. It is often used, actually, to reinforce and defend it. And so we're not really honoring Jesus' original intention if we insist on using only male images and naming of God. You see, we can never fully know or comprehend God, and any language we use for God is, by its very nature, limited. God is not a human. And yet, God does have what we have traditionally called both masculine and feminine traits or characteristics. Yet it is no wonder that masculine images and the pronoun he have been used for God for centuries. After all, he was the default pronoun used for any unknown being. until about the last 60 years or so, as our language has evolved to be more inclusive. Even given that history, we surprisingly do find numerous feminine images for God in our sacred scripture. This was a focus of research for me in seminary, and I could talk about this for much longer than we have available to us this morning. But let's return to this specific simile of Mother Hen in the time that we do have together. Why did Jesus choose that? Now, just before the verse that we heard Felix read to us, Jesus referred to Herod, the king, as a fox. One commentator says, now, this is the same vicious king who murdered his own son because Herod viewed his son as a threat to his reign. And Herod also executed John the Baptist because the prophet dared to speak the truth. Jesus calls Herod that fox, not the lion that Herod himself referred to himself as. But then Jesus goes on to liken himself to a mother hen, longing to gather her chicks under her wing. Foxes destroy hens. If Jesus views himself as mightier than Herod, why did he not choose another comparison? Jesus knew the Jewish scriptures very well. And Debbie Thomas points out that Jesus had other maternal images he could have used, drawn from the First Testament, to make his point. God as the enraged she-bear from Hosea, God as a laboring woman from Isaiah, God as mom of a healthy, happy toddler from Psalm 131, God as a skilled midwife in Psalm 22, God as a soaring mother eagle from Deuteronomy. Surely an eagle could swoop down and do away with a fox. But no, Jesus chooses to identify himself with a hen, gathering her brood under her wings. Episcopal Bishop Miller says that it is interesting that the mother hen imagery for God never gained much traction in the church. We know by the art of the early church that the Good Shepherd image was very popular. But about halfway down the Mount of Olives that overlooks the city of Jerusalem, there is a teardrop-shaped church called the Church of the Dominus Flavit. Dominus Flavit translates into English as the Lord wept. Inside this church, at the foot of the altar, there is a mosaic of a hen with her wings outstretched and her chicks protected beneath her. And surrounding the image is this verse, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. But this image is rare, and you may never have heard a whole sermon based on this one verse before either. Bishop Miller says, maybe we just do not appreciate the power of this image, which Jesus so deliberately chose. Perhaps Allison Woodard was thinking of this verse and what lay ahead for Jesus when she wrote this poem, God Our Mother, for the Liturgist podcast in 2017. To be a mother is to suffer, to travail in the dark, stretched and torn, exposed in half-naked humiliation, subjected to indignities, for the sake of new life. To be a mother is to say, this is my body, given for you. And in the next instance, in response to the created's primal hunger, This is my body. Take and eat. To be a mother is to self-empty, to neither slumber nor sleep. So attuned you are to the cries in the night, offering the comfort of yourself and assurance of, I am here. To be a mother is to weep over the fighting and exclusion and wounds your children inflict on one another, to long for reconciliation and sibling love, and when all is said and done, to gather all parties, the offender and the offended, into the folds of your embrace, and to whisper in their ears that they are beloved. Dr. Shade says mother hens are often seen as overprotective, interfering, overbearing. They cluck and pick and watch constantly. Nobody really likes a mother hen. Unless you are a vulnerable chick in need of protection. Unless all of your life you have been deprived of a mother's care. Unless all you have known is the feeling of being abandoned, left to your own devices, stranded to face the fox all by yourself. And did you know that mother hens have the ability to feel their chicks' pain? This is a quality called empathy, an ability that was once thought to be uniquely human. But recent studies suggest that animals may also experience empathy. A study from 2017 uncovered for the first time that mother hens are such attentive, caring parents that they feel their chicks' pain. In experiments, female chickens showed clear signs of anxiety when their young were in distress. They found that adult female birds possess at least one of the essential underpinnings attributed to empathy: the ability to be affected by and share the emotional state of another. When your life is filled with moments of suffering and pain and uncertainty, it's nice to have a mother hen. Caring, welcoming, warm, empathetic. Lauren Wright Pittman says the image of Christ as a mother hen is revolutionary. Instead of using a hyper-masculine, militaristic, menacing image in response to Herod's death threats, Jesus upends the expected posture of violence and chooses to identify with a nurturing, protective, feminine image of a mother hen. He explains his love for Jerusalem as a mother hen who desperately desires to lovingly shelter her young. However, this image in this verse also drips of rejection because the chicks are unwilling to be protected. Jesus' use of this simile is also wonderfully subversive because at first it seems like a harmless, warm and fuzzy kind of reference. A cuddly, plump mother hen wanting to snuggle her young. But mother hens will protect their young at all costs. As we heard Mariana say in the Young Disciples time, a mother hen will put her whole body on the line to keep her chicks safe. If danger nears, she will meet it head on, striking with her beak with claws raised high. Jesus wants that fox, Herod, to know that death threats will not keep him from fiercely bringing healing and restoration to the world. Jesus will lay his life on the line just as a mother hen will do. By the time of this passage, Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. This is in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Luke, and he does not arrive in Jerusalem until chapter 20. He knows what is waiting for him there, but he continues teaching and touching people's lives on his journey towards Jerusalem. And he continues teaching at the temple when he gets there too. He does not run away. He does not try to hide. And in chapter 22, we come to that last Passover meal that we know as the Last Supper. And we know what happened that evening. Maybe this mother imagery is more appropriate to Jesus than we might have thought in the first place. Bringing new life into the world is not for the faint of heart. It is dangerous. Debbie Thomas says, Jesus never argues that the fox is not dangerous. He never promises us divine immunity from harm. What Jesus, the mother hen, offers is not the absence of danger, but the fullness of his unguarded, open-hearted, wholly vulnerable self in the face of all that threatens and scares us. What he gives us is his own body, his own life. Wings spread open, heart exposed, shade and warmth and shelter at the ready. What he promises at great risk to himself is the making of his very being into a place of refuge and return for his children, for all of his children, even the ones who want to stone and kill him. What would it take for us to cultivate Jesus's vulnerability as our strength? And in doing so, could we let go of our images of an exclusively male God? Maybe what we need to cultivate this Lent is this motherly image that we find in this passage. A mother hen who calls to us with longing, her wings held patiently and bravely open, offering refuge, come what may. I can't imagine a more profound or radical picture of our God. Can you?